Binge the full week ad-free over at patreon.com/inspireddisorder.
What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to reality.
Gremlins 2, the new batch, the sequel to the Gremlins franchise. This one came out in 1990, 4 years after the original. And it is clear that the studio leaned heavily into making it more of a kids' movie, where the first one, I think just the adorability of Gizmo as a character and as a product that they could sell really took off. And so they wanted to make the sequel a bit more kid-friendly. For whatever reason, and one of the signs of this, is that it opens with a Warner Brothers Looney Tunes cartoon intro with Donald Duck and Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, Donald Duck. I forget their names now. But kind of a really weird intro to a Gremlins movie. Just has nothing to do with the movie at all. Clearly trying to make it a kids movie. And now you have the main characters, the same kid from the first one, his love interest. Now they're both living in, New York. They moved to the city. He's an illustrator of some kind. They both work for this giant corporation, Clamp. The Clamp building is where this takes place. And Clamp Industries is, they do film production, radio production, they do science, it's like they're involved in a lot of different aspects of in different industries, which lends itself to when things go haywire, the building's like touted as being the most automated, high-tech building that you will ever find in the world. So of course, as the Gremlins are known for causing havoc in technology, of course, this movie's going to take place in the most technologically advanced building, according to the art designers of Gremlins 2. So they're back in the thing. The whole, like, it starts off, Clamp Industries trying to buy up a block in New York, and the final holdout is the Asian guy from the first movie, the old Asian guy who owns the shop where Gizmo was first purchased, or I guess stolen in some ways from the inventor dad. And Gizmo's still there, obviously, because at the end of the first one, the old man takes Gizmo back. They finally get the thing. They break down the old man dies. They finally get to knock the thing down, and Gizmo has this like scene where he's got to escape as the cranes and things are knocking the building down, which it seems like the bright light rule of Gremlins isn't as followed in this one. They do a lot of things in this film to kind of break the rules. And that science lab that's inside the Clamp Industries building is a big part of that. So Gizmo sneaks away, obviously. He accidentally gets caught by the scientists that work for Clamp. But while working, his previous owner discovers that he's there and goes kidnaps him. And then it all craziness ensues. They have wildly different gremlin characters. I mean, just the Gizmo type gremlin characters, the Mogwai, before they turn into the scary gremlins. Instead of waiting for them to turn into the monster gremlins to make them look racist, like right off the bat, they have probably the most racist kind of stereotypical, like if you were to think of just movies that have come out that represent Asians in the most stereotypical ways, what would be those kind of two main Asian stereotypes that film has done where it doesn't hold up? Of course, you have the gremlin with the Fu Manchu look, almost looks like the old Asian man that owned the store. And then you have the goofy, wide-eyed bucktooth Asian looking one, which I believe was it Pretty in Pink. There's one of those old John Hughes movies that has a really offensive caricature of a race or of an Asian person. So that's what the sequel of Gremlins does. They don't the scary monster gremlins don't necessarily look quite like you know, African American stereotypes, or at least have features of that, or they're not calling upon that stereotypical racist look for this movie. This movie, they wanted to make the adorable gremlins look racist, which is interesting. But yeah, this also the drunk racist from the town, the small town that they're in. Guess who's back? Who's taking a visit to New York to see their old pals, which would be crazy. Like, to move away from a small town and the neighborhood racist drunk shows up. And it seems like he was planning on staying with them. But of course he shows up just as the gremlin situation is starting to boil over and things are starting to go bad. But yeah, it's mainly takes place inside the Clamp building. All kinds of craziness happens because of the science lab. They engineered different gremlins. Like, one of them injects himself with a sunscreen so he can go outside, but he also grew like bat wings. Another one drank like a smart potion, so now he's like just this well-spoken, like kind of aristocratic kind of a gremlin. So it definitely got super wacky, and there was a lot of different types of gremlins that kind of spawned from this movie. Watching everything go bad in the building, like, I never really cared. Like, the Clamp industry guy and the Clamp industry in general is not like a business model or a business that I'm rooting for. So I'm kind of rooting for the gremlins to be successful tearing this thing down. But of course they kind of come together in a way, kind of the end. It's got some fun moments in it. It's got some fun moments. And it's really self-referential. I mean, it's so much so that there's a scene where, like, the gremlins, like, if you were watching this movie in a movie theater, there's a scene where the gremlins break the film. So it makes it look as if you were in a movie theater and you're watching this movie on film, which nobody would anymore, but it would be as if the film actually broke in the projection booth, as if the gremlins are in the projection booth at the movie you're watching. But the gremlins break the film, and then there's this, like, almost outside of the film part where people are complaining, and one of the ushers of the movie theater is like, I will take care of this. I know who to get. And he goes into the theater, and it's Hulk Hogan, which Hulk Hogan must have been huge at that moment. And he, like, stares at the gremlins in the projector booth and is like, you better fix this. And then he tears his shirt off because that's what Hulk Hogan did. It's just a really weird, like, there's a lot of, I think, pop culture references from around that time. From the, early, I guess this came out in 90, so it would have been like the late 80s, whatever was going on in the late 80s. And there's a scene where Leonard Maltin, who's a famous movie critic and reviewer, apparently has a show through the Clamp production wing of this building, is, filming Leonard Maltin movie reviews. And Leonard Maltin was reviewing Gremlins 1 and talking shit about it. Which I think was hilarious, because I think probably I would imagine the reviews of Gremlins 1 came out. They were kind of probably, here and there, probably scattered, because that movie, not really a kid's movie, not really like a horror movie, not really a Christmas movie. But it has this toy that took off, I'm sure, and this character that's really adorable. And they, moments of that Gremlins 1 was like goofy and weird. And it's like, let's do another one. Let's make a money grab. And we'll stuff in. It's almost like how DC makes their movies. It's like, we'll just stuff in all of the fan favorite stuff. Like, we'll just stuff in references and stuff that have nothing to do with this, but people will like it because they saw Hulk Hogan do the same thing on their TV on a different show. And it, you know, it doesn't hold up as far as helping the movie in any way, but you know, it's the characters are very, it just really doesn't hold up. Like, I could still see this being a successful movie in some ways for kids, but a lot of those references, like, no kid is going to know Hulk Hogan. No kid is going to know when the film breaks. Like, I mean, movie theaters aren't even open right now, but even if they were, nobody's been in a movie theater with film in it that could break, you know, in forever. So there's aspects of it. I mean, it kind of tried to you know, pump up the goofiness and kind of lean into a lot of the things that people liked about the first one. But overall, it is just, it's just a goofy mess. And, you know, it wasn't horrible. It felt long. It definitely felt long. I don't know what the runtime is on this. Hour and 46 minutes. It felt like it was easily a 2-hour long movie. But, you know, when it doesn't have a lot of substance and it's really just trying to, like, you know where it's going to get. You're just watching a movie of Gremlins wreak havoc on things. It was fun. It had its moments, but, you know, the first one's better, you know, just cause I mean, even that, there's callback to her. She has, instead of her tragic story about her dad dying, pretending to be Santa Claus in the fireplace, she had, another tragic story that she was about to go in about Abe Lincoln. But they, like, you know, skirted her away from the camera when she started to tell it, which is funny. I mean, the callbacks, the references, as long as you get them, they're funny. But if not, it's really just nothing. It's a really kind of a nothing. It's just a money grab in kind of the biggest sense of the word. But yeah, Gremlins 2 wasn't as big of a fan as the first one, but the new batch was pretty sour. Go get yourself some amazing coffee from our friends over at stationhousecoffee.com. Follow Station House Coffee on Instagram, but make sure you order yourself some small batch, single origin, premium coffee brewed in Thetford Center, Vermont, shipped directly to you, no matter where you are. Just hit them up over at stationhousecoffee.com. Give them a follow, Station House Coffee on Instagram, and get yourself some of the best coffee on the planet Earth. New episodes of The Ray Taylor Show come out every single day. Subscribe on IGTV, YouTube, and everywhere else podcasts are found. Binge the full week ad-free over at patreon.com/inspireddisorder. Buy Ray Taylor Show merch over at inspireddisorder.com. And follow the show on Instagram at Ray Taylor Show. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Peace out!